The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, hello everyone again, and here we are on August 1st of 2021. And today was a day that we had the plans here at IMC to open up our doors so people can come together. And this event, this Sunday morning talk, was meant to be the first public talk at our center since mid-March 2020. And it seemed like over the last few weeks that the course of the pandemic was taking such a direction that it wasn't wise to open up, or it didn't contribute to caring for our community in important ways, and where we want to try to be careful not to be transmitters or enable the transmission of this coronavirus, and that somehow being sheltered, protected, closed this way, hopefully is seen as an act of love and care, compassion for this world, for ourselves and others. So, but it kind of is a poignant moment to have planned to open and then now not opening. And makes me reflect on the impact that this pandemic has had, that for all these months. And I think it's important to be deeply respectful of the impact, but to appreciate, understand the impact that it has on each of us as individuals, as a community, as a global community. That and it's not uncommon for people to feel that that the ongoingness of this pandemic has worn them down to some degree, and there's a kind of tiredness or a kind of weariness from the lack of contact with a lot of people, the isolation some people feel, the feeling of you know, the feeling of compassion, the feeling of distress around what's happening in our society and our world as a whole. And I think of these months that we've been in the pandemic as kind of a, you know, I think for some of us to have experienced, to be aware of a greater range of suffering, greater range of challenge, locally and internationally, then maybe many people experience over a lifetime. Maybe not since World War II, maybe, or that there's been something like this. Some people have evoked the AIDS pandemic as being another time where it's been this global impact. And but I think that one of the things about this pandemic is how that's remarkable is how much it's shared by everyone on the globe. I think there's very few people who are not somehow impacted by it. And maybe there's a few, you know, there's, I had some little bit of indirect contact with a South Pacific island, and where it doesn't seem to have reached the shores, so they're free of it. But they've closed themselves off to the wider world. And so that has an impact as well. So, and I can imagine that for a lot of people, it felt like finally it's over, but then it's not over. And so one of the important things is to care for ourselves, not to allow the weight of this current events to weigh us down, to stress us, to for the weariness of it all to kind of begin wearing us down. And so how do we do that? How do we not allow this experience of this ongoing pandemic to accumulate its impact on us? And that's a little bit the topic of today, or very much the topic. And for me, the reference point for this is meditation, the way that meditation can help. And other people, some people have other means that are similar to meditation to do the same thing. And that is a means by which we can start fresh every day, a means by which the accumulation of stress, the accumulation of weariness or resistance or sadness or distress that might be felt, that it doesn't accumulate, it doesn't build, but rather than that's the opposite, that we're able to put it down. And for some period of time to really put it down and to live free of it, without it, even if it's just for a few minutes, to have the experience so that we can start fresh, we can be refreshed, renewed. And so then we've interrupted the building, the accumulation of the tremendous weight and the ongoingness of the experience. And it's very easy for many of us to be caught up in the whirlwind or the agitation or the churning of the mind and thoughts and live in them as if that's completely natural and normal, and what else is there to do? And it's kind of like a labyrinth we can't get out of, because the thoughts are just kind of thinking themselves, and maybe sometimes the thoughts are thinking about how to be free of the very thing we're thinking about, and it's kind of like stuck, kind of. But meditation, to really be able to get still, focused, concentrated in meditation, to have mindfulness be a stepping away from preoccupation and thoughts, involvement with thoughts, so kind of getting a little distance from them and freedom from them, and maybe allowing the thinking to quiet and still. Or it's a shift, the center of where we live in our being, from being centered on thoughts to being centered in the breathing or in the body. And to feel that shift. And so that we're not feeding our thoughts, we're not living in the thoughts, we're not swirling around in those thoughts. The analogy for this is whipping up cream, or using an egg beater to beat up egg whites. That if you take either one, but you keep stirring and churning and beating and bringing air into the egg whites or air into the cream, slowly over time, the cream, the egg whites, become stiff. And they get stiffer and stiffer until they get so stiff you can take the beater or the fork, whatever you're doing, and lift it up, and you make these little peaks because it's firm enough that it stays upright. So the same way with our minds, if we're constantly using the egg beater of the mind, or a fork in the mind, kind of constantly stirring and stirring and stirring, that the mind starts becoming stiff. It starts becoming heavy and feels substantial and feels sticky and stiffer, and so there's not much flexibility and fluidity with our experience because of the stiffness of the mind. And the stiffer the mind becomes, the more we're globbed on or coagulated around thoughts, ideas, concerns, coagulated or stiff around our suffering, the more circumstances impact us, we're more fragile in a sense. The stiffness is vulnerable to being broken or being bumped up against, or that doesn't happen if the liquid is really soft and smooth, and you put your finger through the cream and it just kind of like you know, just it's smooth. There's no resistance to the finger going through the cream. And before it's been whipped up, in a sense, or the egg whites. So this idea of letting the mind become soft, fluid, not stiff, not coagulated, is that's where the accumulation is, the accumulation of tension, accumulation of impact of chronic thinking, chronic, And sometimes people's suffering gets exasperated by this whipping around of the egg beater in the mind, of our fears, our plans, our resistance, our resentments, our all these kinds of things, our desires, our frustrations. And so to learn a way to put that down, to stop the egg beating, to stop the churning, and allow the thinking mind to get quiet, so that for a brief moment maybe, or for a short period of time, we're not riding on the wave of chronic thinking. We're not being pushed by the tides of thoughts that are coming and coming and coming. And it's kind of like we're able to settle or stand on dry ground, and we're no longer the momentum of thoughts are not, we're not caught in it or spinning in it or swirling in these thoughts. And this allows us to feel deeply refreshed, allows us to feel at ease, at peace. And it's a wonderful peace and refreshment that's very hard to understand if we're churning in our thoughts. The thoughts, they want something, and to not want can seem like a betrayal. To not wanting, it seems like we have to be forward-looking, reaching in or pulling back and protecting ourselves or doing something in order to find ourselves, to be safe, to get what we want. And the idea of doing nothing, of just letting go fully and being peaceful, from the logic of our thinking mind, this doesn't work. The unconscious logic of thinking is that you can't really afford to stop thinking. Thinking is where the solution is going to be. Thinking is where it's all constructed and made, and where it exists. And thinking has so much weight and substance and authority that we have to stay there. The authority insists, like, you have to stay and be in your thoughts and figure this out. But if we can put it all down and step away from it and discover that the place where there is no weight, where there is no authority like that, and feel like that's a center, then something can relax. There can discover some capacity for peace and ease, letting go. And that refreshment then, it's kind of like then we're fresh. Then we start up, and we're not abandoning the world. But then when we return to the world after our meditation, then we're there in a fresh way, in a clear way, in a hopefully renewed way. And then it's easier to engage in the world around us with our family, friends, work, the world, whatever. It's easier to read the news and not be overwhelmed or not have it kind of like be one more thing that gets folded into the churning of the mind, the way the egg beating of the mind that we do, and that it just becomes something we take in more deeply, something news, and take in the suffering around us. So in a beneficial way, it impacts our heart. But if the mind is spinning and churning, taking in the suffering of the world, it's probably counterproductive, not useful. I think that the pandemic, I think, has been an opportune time to be a witness, deep witness, heart witness, to the human condition on this planet. We're learning so much about injustice, so much about the suffering, and so much about about death and sickness, and it's huge what's happened to our planet with the pandemic. How do we become a better person because of it? How do we not get weighed down by it? How does it awaken compassion, love, good qualities in us, so those qualities can meet the world? I think it's very hard to do that if we're stuck or in this churning, we're stirring up the mind, beating up the mind, whipping up the mind over and over again, like you would egg whites. Or we have to stop the churning. We have to stop the incessant spinning and agitation of the mind, or at least slow it down dramatically enough so that there's time for us to be refreshed, time to come to open the eyes again, and the eyes are not so clouded by all these thoughts, ideas, judgments, and fears. And in a sense, this capacity of meditation to put ourselves, you know, to get renewed or refreshed, is also get renewed from ourselves, where we're not being disloyal to ourselves, that we're not continuing to think about our suffering, our problems, our concerns. It's actually, some of our preoccupations are all about me, myself, and mine, and to be able to really put aside, even if we are suffering, there's a lot of suffering that we're experiencing, many of us. And not to diminish that, and not to deny that it's there, but if what we're doing is using the egg beater of the mind to just spin the thoughts and ideas, then it's not really useful for us. We're just adding suffering upon suffering. It is okay to stop the egg beating. It's okay to stop thinking about oneself for a while and get kind of renewed and refreshed. And then we can come back. Now, in Buddhism, one of the egg beaters, is one of the core things that Buddhist practice is trying to free ourselves from, is the egg beater, which is see, as things get stiffer in the mind, some of these stiff things in the mind become the egg beater. And one of the stiff things in the mind that becomes the egg beater is our idea of self, or our ideas of self. So we have, you know, it's pretty natural for human beings to have a sense of emness, I am. There's a centeredness here in our being. That's normal, natural. But that centeredness and being centered here and feeling a little bit like through our body this substantial nature of our being, the vitality of life that's flowing here in this body, that's fine. But then we start having thoughts, ideas, judgments, projections, biases that we add and build, and we add to that. And that's this egg beater of self. We're adding to that, building on it, the baggage of I have to be this way, I have to be that way. Being a person like this means that I have to be treated this way, or shouldn't be treated that way, or I should be treat myself this way, or I need to have that happen, or this has to happen. Just more and more ideas about self, and these layers and layers, some of them are fine ideas in and of themselves, but it isn't the ideas that are the problem, but rather how the egg beater of self is churning and spinning and making the more and more solidified sense of self, idea of self, holding the self contracted. And one of the great blessings and benefits of meditation practice is that to stop the egg beating of self, and let, you know, retire the constant preoccupation and spinning around me, myself, and mine, and even let that become quiet. And it's not a disloyalty to self, but it's a recovery from the stress of this egg beater that's going. And it's a remarkable thing to discover that there is a vitality, a clarity, an openness that's possible for us, and an engagement even in life that's possible without that stiffness of me, myself, and mine, the stiffness of that starts making a substantial self or a weighty self, a weighty self. Whatever the self is, if you want to have a self or self ideas or identities that we have, they belong in and of themselves to the weightless world of the mind. As soon as there's a weight to them, then we've contracted, we've gotten tight, heavy. If we get heavy and substantial, there's been the egg beater of the mind has been stirring things up. Meditation, going for a walk in nature, reading a nice book, taking a nap. There's all kinds. There's different ways that different people have. But to do it in a thorough and deep way that sometimes something unlike meditation can do, where we completely put down the egg beater of self churning that goes on, and to discover a peacefulness, a quiet, a radiance, an openness, where there's no reference being made to me, myself, and I, where there's no reference to anything that has any weight. The reference is, if anything, is to something that feels open, weightless, light, free, relaxed, where we learn to recognize that the egg beater, the spinning, the churning, that it goes on incessantly in the mind, has quieted down. And it's so important to give ourselves some time to do that, because then we think more wisely. Then we're ready to see more clearly. Then there's space and room for the heart, for our capacity for goodwill and kindness, care, compassion, warm-heartedness. So you might, if this talk is something you can relate to, you might start paying attention to when you're spinning your thoughts, spinning in the world of the mind, egg beating, whipping up your thoughts in ways that things become mentally heavy and substantial and thick and stiff even. And to notice how it might eclipse the warm-heartedness of the heart, how it might eclipse the kindness, the generosity, the natural goodness of the heart of our being, that in and of itself also has no weight, in and of itself has no substantiality, unless we pick it up that way with clinging and pressure and wanting and pick it up with self. The goodness of our heart that has not been churned or by the egg beating of self, where the goodness just allowed to be there simply, relaxedly, openly, here. And so look and start noticing the distinction between when you're churning and when the churning has stopped, when you're spinning in thought, and when you really let stepped away from that world of thought and are more at peace and at ease here. It's a very important distinction. And the more you can see that distinction, the more access you'll have to a degree of freedom, where not only maybe you don't need to recover so much or renew as much, but you actually stay renewed or you stay relaxed and open, because you're not continually accumulating more and more of this tension that comes from whipping up the egg whites in the mind. So I hope you have a chance to each day to do something that really renews or refreshes the mind. I think it's as important as brushing your teeth. And so please, and I think you'll probably find that you'll live a much more effective life. So that way. So thank you very much, and I am looking forward to being with all of you, certainly all of you, but to many of you, when we do open our doors here and we can meet in person, and that day will come. And until then, I offer you my warm regard and well-wishing, and hope that you take good care of yourself and good care of the world. Thank you.